Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
Jesus told us to love thy neighbor as thyself.
Religious faith, the source of so much inspiration, an excuse for so much evil.
The Torah commands, that which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow.
I believe restoring religious faith to its rightful place as the guide to our world and its future is itself of the essence.
In Islam, there is the hadith that reads, none of you truly believes until he wishes for his brother what he wishes for himself.
We have every state represented here today, a half a dozen head of states, 182 nations represented.
The same is true for Buddhists and Hindus, for followers of Confucius, and for humanists.
As we approach the Lenten season, we're put in mind, of course, of the suffering of Jesus Christ. The Gospels all record this suffering in great detail. And we think about the anguish, the physical and the mental anguish of the crucifixion, not so much in general, but in particular about our Savior's crucifixion, because this suffering, although it would have been common to anyone crucified in the first century, this suffering atones for our sins. We're going to talk about a medical perspective on the Passion of Christ during this first half hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jared Joseph Stanley is our guest. Dr. Stanley practices medicine in Butler, Missouri, outside of Kansas City. Dr. Stanley has served as a preceptor for the medical school faculties at the University of Iowa, the University of Nebraska, and Creighton University. He's co-author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, He Was Crucified. Dr. Stanley, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
From what you have learned as a doctor about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and in particular, or in general, crucifixions practiced by the Romans, why did the Roman government practice this particular form of execution?
Well, they actually performed several. They could give you over to wild beasts. They could stone you. They could behead you. They could kill you in a number of ways. But crucifixion was a form of capital punishment that frightened people, that they could do as a show to help them intimidate and control people in an occupied territory. And it was their preferred method for people that they did not like, not just for the Jews, but for other people that the Romans had conquered.
From the biblical account, as we find them there in the Gospels, was Jesus' crucifixion itself typical of a Roman crucifixion?
Well, typical in some respects, in that there were certain ceremonial things that had to happen, but atypical in the fact that he was scourged so severely that the scourging and the crucifixion of Jesus was remarkable to the Roman historians, the Jewish historians, as well as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This was atypical in the fact that it was so severe that he died sooner than anticipated on the cross.
Was scourging part of the preliminary preparation for the final crucifixion?
Scourging was routine prior to pretty much all of the capital punishments that they had. But especially of crucifixion, yes.
Okay, let's talk about that scourging. All of the gospel writers note its scope, its extent. He is simply beaten to the legal limit, it seems as though. What kind of a beating would this have been, Doctor?
Well, the reeds and things that they use, they actually are used in Eastern countries now, and more than five or six beatings, more than five or six lashes with these reeds, which are long and very painful to get hit with, are used for punishment in foreign countries today. The beating that he underwent, not only with the reeds through the night, he was physically hit in the face. That's accounted for. And then the weapon of tissue and body destruction that was chosen by the Roman guards, were designed to literally destroy the body prior to its crucifixion.
This is a part of the spectacle, I take it. You said that this is not only a public thing, but it was intended to strike fear in those who would witness it.
Oh, exactly. You have to put the crucifixion of Jesus in context. The Romans were occupying the territory of Palestine. They were in Jerusalem, a city of normally of about 25,000 people, had swelled to over 300,000 with religious fervor and the anxiety and hatred of the Romans and the Romans of the Jews as the city swelled with religious fervor and people. This was a very opportune thing to show them that we are in control, and this is what will happen to you if you get out of control, and what we can do if you threaten Roman authority.
If it had only been just the beatings, the incarceration and the various beatings that Jesus endured, and then if, as Pilate seems to have been wont to do, he could have let him go after the corporal punishment, how would that have left Jesus in a physical state, even at that?
More than likely, from the description of the beatings and the number of beatings that Jesus endured, which was outside the normal Jewish range, it would have been very difficult for him to have been kept alive and survive even in today's high-tech emergency rooms.
Really?
Let alone back 2,000 years ago, before modern medicine, it was almost certain that he would have died had they done nothing. He was beaten that badly.
And yet it's not over for our Savior, even at that. What comes next by way of the physical anguish for Jesus after the scourgings and the beatings?
The physical part of this all started back in the Garden of Gethsemane with the hemohidrosis, the swelling of the tissues with blood, the filling of the sweat glands from capillary rupture, and the sweating of blood would have made your skin very sensitive and swollen. And that would have caused the beginning of dehydration and early anemia. As he underwent the lashes and scourging to such an extent to destroy a 33-year-old body, he was then forced to carry, and this was part of the ceremonial proceedings that had to happen. The person being crucified would carry his cross, whether it was the full T cross or just the patibulum, we're not sure. But he was then made to carry his cross in a show of domination and embarrassment through the streets, in front of the people, being mocked, ridiculed, and continued beatings, and then on into the actual process of crucifixion.
So at the very least, he would have been carrying some kind of a wooden device sufficient to suspend his body, and at the very most, he might have been carrying the entire device itself.
Yes, anywhere from probably a 100-pound crossbeam or patibulum to the 200 to 225-pound entire cross, the patibulum and the stipes.
Okay, how far do we believe he would have had to have borne this? Of course, we're told by the gospel writers that he doesn't bear it the entire way, but in fact becomes unable.
He was probably unable to carry it a third of a mile.
What's going on in his body at this point?
Well, starting from the outside, his skull would be bleeding and extremely painful. He had a cap of thorns. The Shroud of Turin shows over 100 thorns on his puncture wounds on his head. He has over 200, according to the Shroud of Turin, if you believe this is Jesus' body or not, the shroud shows 200 marks on the back and legs and around the sides of the body that had been beaten. We can assume that Jesus was beaten at least this much, and that's just the ones that you can see. So his skin would have been ripped from his back and his legs and buttocks and around from the sides. The muscle layer underneath would have been torn to shreds with the weapon of destruction. The kidney trauma underneath the ribs would have caused electrolyte abnormalities and dehydration. The trauma to the lungs would have ruptured some of the small alveoli, and you would have fluid extravasating into the lungs themselves, so the lungs are filling up with fluid, making it even harder to breathe. The lungs and the kidneys work together, trying to regulate the acid and the electrolytes and fluids of the body, and that would have been totally disrupted. Oxygenation, the acid-base changes, all of this besides the extreme pain, the blood loss with anemia and fatigue setting in, he would have been essentially destroyed.
Sounds like even before he makes it to the cross, at least in a physical sense, a physical bodily sense, Jesus is a goner. He's done. And yet what awaits him is the final crucifixion. When we come back, we'll talk more about that. By the way, you can find out more about our Issues Etc. Book of the Month. He was crucified at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Look for the cover at our homepage or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Stay tuned. What kind of physical and mental anguish did Jesus endure in the hours leading up to his death? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is titled He Was Crucified. It's written by medical doctor Gerald Stanley. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can purchase He Was Crucified by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Enrich your meditation on Christ's passion with He Was Crucified, 1-800-325-3040.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology, issuesetc.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking with the author of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February. He Was Crucified, Dr. Jared Joseph Stanley. Dr. Stanley, before the break, we were talking about Jesus on his way to the cross. When he finally does get there, he obviously is, at least in a physical sense, already a goner. They couldn't have saved him even if they wanted to. And yet what awaits him then is this ritual torture and execution, the crucifixion. What would have happened first?
Well, if you follow the accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he had a robe around his shoulders. And you can imagine that he had been beaten on his way to the crucifixion place. They would have ripped this cloth off of his back and shoulders. And you can imagine if you've had a Band-Aid or a dressing where you rip it off and it reopens the bleeding, this is his entire backside would have been covered with this, and it would have ripped him open again, starting the bleeding and the terrible pain. He would have been thrown to his back on the dirt over the patibulum and had nails driven through his wrists. Once they drill the nails through the wrist, then soldiers on either side would be able to lift the patibulum with the victim suspended up over the top of the stipes and drop it into place. So the victim is being suspended strictly by his nailed wrists. And then he's placed on the stipes. His legs would have been bent and then nailed to the cross, probably only about 2 feet above the ground, and left to hang until he died.
The trauma to, obviously, to have having nails driven through your wrists, unimaginable in and of itself, and then also through your feet, unimaginable. I can't imagine just the anguish of simply hanging from, suspended by nails.
Well, what it does is it pulls your arms out. The Romans had learned that if you put your hands directly above you when you're crucified, you die quickly. If you pull your arms straight out, you die more quickly. So what they've done is they learned that if you give them a little bit of a bend, the victim can pull himself up. And if you think about what that does with pushing up on your feet with nails driven through them and pulling on your wrist with the spikes driven through your wrist, and scraping your already scourged back with the open wounds and muscle tissue hanging out and bleeding, and pushing up with your head against the crown of thorns on your head and digging into your scalp just to breathe. What happens in crucifixion is your body's respiration mechanism is completely reversed. Normally, when you breathe in, you use muscles to inhale, and then you relax passively, you exhale. And in crucifixion, it's just the opposite. Your body is actually pulled into full expansion, so the air rushes into your lungs. And to breathe out, you then have to push yourself up and more realign your chest and arms to breathe out normally. Eventually, with this process of sagging down on your arms and legs, pulling your body open in full inspiration, having to push yourself up for expiration, you become extremely fatigued and eventually can't push yourself up any longer.
So you asphyxiate.
You become exhausted and asphyxiate yourself. It's kind of an exhaustion-asphyxia combination.
I cannot imagine lasting an hour, and yet the Romans appear to be, these professional executioners appear to be surprised that Jesus expires as quickly as he does. What does that tell you?
It tells me that his scourging was even more severe than anyone realized. The length of time you lasted on the cross was inversely related to the amount of scourging. And the fact that he died so quickly meant that he was scourged even more so than we can imagine.
The gospel account tells us that Jesus actually spoke from the cross, which I find amazing, especially given what you said just a moment ago about the travail of actually even being able to exhale, alone speak on the cross. What would that have been like?
Well, we know Jesus spoke at least seven times, as recorded by the Gospels. And to speak, you have to exhale to push himself up and maintain this posture on his wrists and feet with him in an effort, long enough and with enough effort to make the words understandable to the onlookers. Terrible, terrible discomfort to speak, let alone to just continue to breathe.
And we're told also he calls out. It's not just mumbling a few words with the little breath that he has, but he actually is able at some point, even near the end, to cry out in a loud voice several times.
And the onlookers recognized his death. The centurion in charge of the crucifixion detail, this would have been a professional Roman soldier who had risen through the ranks to be an officer. He was in charge of the scourging. It was his job to make sure that the victim was scourged and made it to the crucifixion. In other words, he wasn't to be beaten to death. He was to be crucified to death. And then he had to make it to the crucifixion place and go through the process of dying on the cross. They were very, very familiar with the process of crucifixion and dying on the cross, and he recognized that Jesus, in fact, cried out and gave himself to his Father and died.
Go ahead. Well, I'm just wondering, with the impending death, those who are looking on have to be marveling at it, marveling at how grotesque and terrible it must be. When he is finally dead, the body they take down from the cross, Doctor, sounds like it must have been broken completely in every way.
It would have been absolutely destroyed. It would have been flesh pulled away, muscle tissue and fibers, shreds of muscle hanging from different parts of his back, buttocks, legs, from the sides, from his chest. His head would have bled tremendously from the cap of thorns that had been placed on his head and the scraping of the back on the cross itself as you tried to push up and breathe. The bleeding from the wrists and the feet where the spikes had been driven would have just been an absolutely destroyed body.
There are people who will assert, even to this day, that while Jesus may well have been crucified, he didn't die. They want to explain the resurrection by saying he swooned, he was taken down, presumed dead, later recovered, and then was able to amble about in a convincing fashion after 3 days in the tomb. How does that strike you as a doctor, given what you've learned about the crucifixion? We got about a minute before we conclude our conversation.
It's absolutely impossible to conceive that he would have recovered in a short period of time. His body had been absolutely trashed, as you say. The centurion, who was a professional soldier, was in charge of making sure that he was dead. The death thrust with the spear would have guaranteed that. The beating would have been enough to kill most people, let alone the actual crucifixion. There is just no way you could undergo what was described and what was legally supposed to happen according to the Romans, and anticipate that a person would be able to get up and walk around in a few days. It's just unheard of.
Dr. Jared Joseph Stanley practices medicine in Butler, Missouri, outside of Kansas City. Dr. Stanley has served as a preceptor for the medical school faculties at the University of Iowa, the University of Nebraska, and Creighton University. He is co-author of Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for February. He was crucified. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can purchase He Was Crucified by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. He Was Crucified. Dr. Stanley, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you very much.
My goodness, after listening to that, how can anyone possibly think that this was a faked death or a faked resurrection? It makes all the more remarkable not only the scope of his suffering, which the Bible assures us was not merely physical. There was even a greater suffering being endured there willingly by our Savior. Is the physical suffering real? Yes, it is. And is the physical suffering also the content of our atonement, that we are atoned for by this body, this broken body, this bled-out body, this dead body of Jesus Christ on the cross? Yes. But what he suffers in addition to that are, in fact, the greater sufferings, abandonment by his own Father in our place, and this solely for our salvation. In the end, as gruesome as it is good news. We'll be right back.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely upon you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
An amazing breakthrough has been reported from researchers dealing with adult stem cells. A woman who suffered from tuberculosis for years was in need of a windpipe transplant, so doctors took one from a donor and stripped the cells off of it. They harvested bone marrow from the patient's hip and cultured millions of adult stem cells. They then coated the donor windpipe with her newly created adult stem cells and transplanted it into the woman. The woman's own stem cells ensure the transplanted organ won't be rejected by her body. The procedure was done in June and could take up to 3 years before they know it's been a success. This is pretty futuristic stuff, and yet another reason we don't need to kill human embryos to get these scientific breakthroughs.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. But due to the heavy volume, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available 24/7, 618-223-8384.